Well, we are here. We are ready to go. New Hope Radio. Dave Therrien, thank you so much for joining me today. You know, we're in a series, and the intention of the series is to affirm your faith and also to affirm your standing with God, to build your assurance, to know that you're in God's hands, that you're in God's presence, that you're on God's radar. Oh, yeah. He has not overlooked you, and we want your faith to be strong in who He is in your life. So we're looking at 36 things, count them, 36 things that happen simultaneously at the moment of salvation. We're taking them one by one, because that's the best way to study them, right? One by one. And like I said, these 36 things, they don't happen one after another. They happen simultaneously, okay? We've already noted so far 28 of them. Today we begin with number 29, and we're going to work our way all the way to number 36. This is a good series to go back and review. The Hope Club Podcast, the 36 things that happen at salvation. Take some notes. Hey, do your own Bible study. Do your own home group. It'll really help you. All right, let's get right into it. Good old number 29, okay? The 29th thing that happens at the moment of salvation. We have access to God. Think about that. Access to God. We have access to God in a way that we never did before. We have access to God because, here it is, Christ is the means by which we approach God. See, before salvation, we didn't have Christ to go through, but now we do. There are three aspects of this access. Number one, we have access into God's grace. Scripture, Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we already saw that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. That's good. We exult, or we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, when the Bible says that we have an introduction by faith into this grace, what does that mean? It means that we have access or admission into this grace. Now, we know we're saved by faith, Ephesians 2:8. We stand in this grace. We have access to God through grace. What does that mean? God has done a favor. God has said, listen, I'm going to give you access to me through my son. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you access to me through my son. We are in the much more care of God. Now, we know God loves all people, but He loves His people even more. He loves us with a friendship love. He loves the world with an agape love, an unconditional love. Oh, but once you're saved, He loves you with a friendship love. So that means that we have a special access as a friend would to a friend. We have that to God. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, but God, oh, He demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. What does that mean? That as believers and only believers, we're saved from the wrath to come, and we are in the life of God. We're in the life of Christ. Access means an open door. That's why we can go to God anytime, anywhere, anyway. God is waiting to hear from you. He hasn't shut the door. The door is open through Christ. Number 31, we have an inheritance in Christ. I like that. You know why? Heaven means I have a lot more waiting for me. We hear a lot of preaching today about the believer's life on the earth. Let me tell you something. That's the tip of the iceberg. Wait till you get to heaven. We saw last time that each Christian is a gift of the Father to the Son. Remember that? We're the bride of Christ. The Father says, Son, here's your bride. And Jesus says, thank you, Father. She's beautiful. That's us. So we're a gift to Christ. Now, Christ inherits us, but we also receive an inheritance as well. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:11, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose, who works all things after the counsel of his will. So what does that mean? Wait a minute. We have an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose. Predestined, when did that happen? At salvation. At salvation, we were predetermined or predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ and to receive this inheritance. So let's talk very briefly about, I'm going to give you a mini doctrine of the inheritance, okay? Number one, because this is what waits for you. It's for believers only. Ephesians 5:5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and God. No. Those that continue to stay in their sin and reject salvation, there's no inheritance for them from God. Okay? It's for believers only. Secondly, no believer will be left out. I like that. Sometimes I wonder, gee, am I going to be left out? I have bad days. But in Colossians 1:12, Paul said, no, we're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So we're all qualified, oh, not by us, by God. We don't qualify ourselves to receive that inheritance. God qualifies us through his Son. And that brings us to the third point. It comes from Jesus. Colossians 3:24. See, you get a lot of scriptures. You know why? Everything we say here is biblically based. It has a scriptural foundation. We don't make stuff up as we go along. Colossians 3:24. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. I like that, don't you? Knowing that it is from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. You know, Jesus is the focal point of the universe. He's the focal point of life. Everything about life points to Christ. And if the whole world got on board with that, man, I'll tell you what, it would be a better world. So Jesus shares his inheritance with us. Why? We're his bride. So Romans 8:17 says, if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. We have a generous Savior. Everything he has, he's going to share with us. Heaven is a beautiful place that waits for us. Now, life on earth is going to have its stinky times. Yeah, there's going to be parts of our life on the earth that's not going to be that good. But everything about eternity future is good. This leads us to our fourth point. It is eternal. Oh, this inheritance, it's going to go forever. Hebrews 9:15. Those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. We're the called. The moment we become saved, we are the called. We have a promise of an eternal inheritance. Okay? That's a guarantee. That ain't going anywhere. And then fifthly, it's waiting for you right now. It's already there. Wow. Peter had a pretty good working knowledge of this in 1 Peter 1:4. He said that we will obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled. It will not fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. It's already there. It's waiting for us. Everything Christ has, he's going to share with us, and it's waiting for us. That's the 31st thing that happens at the moment of salvation. The inheritance is reserved for us. Number 32, we are light in the Lord. Now, we know God is light, right? 1 John 1:5, God is light. He is transparent, holy, and pure. In him, there is no darkness at all, okay? I think we're all in agreement. That light was manifested in Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:6, okay? Now, in Christ, the believers also become that divine light, because we're in Christ. We are commanded to walk in that light, 1 John 1:7, and to be wholly subjected to Christ. So think about it. To receive the light is a possession. To be in the light is a position. Okay? We receive the light and we're in the light. So we are in the light of Christ. Even now, the light is somewhat veiled, but in glory, oh, it'll be totally manifested. Even like Paul said, we know in part, we prophesy in part, we see in part, but then one day, boom, we're going to see it all. We'll know him completely. So I want you to remember, though, that you've received the light of Christ and you're in the light of Christ. Walk that way. Walk in the light. Don't walk in darkness. You're going to stumble and fall in the darkness. Walk in the light of God. Number 33, we are in union with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have been placed in union with the Trinity at the moment of salvation. And this really helps us to understand the depth of intimacy that God wants to have with us. You know, there's not a religion in the world that teaches their people God wants to be intimate with them. But we get to Christianity and we see a personal, loving God that wants to walk with us, that wants to do life with us. So let me give you some scriptures about this intimacy that we have with God, this unity that we have with the Trinity. The believer is in the Father. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. We're in God the Father. The Father is in the believer. Ephesians 4:6. God is in us. The believer is in the Son. Romans 8:1. The Son is in the believer. John 14:20. Wow. The believer is in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9. The Holy Spirit is in the believer. 1 Corinthians 2:12. I mean, are you kidding? That's a message right there. We are in the triune God, and the triune God is in us. You realize what that means? God is in you, and you're in him. So here's the result. We are one in each other. Remember when Paul talked about the body concept? We're individual members, but we're of one body, the body of Christ. Well, we're also connected to each other in our connection with the Trinity. Again, you've got the Spirit's got you. You've got the Son's got you. You've got the Father's got you. Hey, no wonder no weapon formed against you can prosper. Your soul is secure. Maybe that's the most important thing to understand, that your soul is secure in God. You need to live with that. You need to abide in. Yes, your body's not. Nope. Your body's going to get sick. Your body might get run over by a car. Your body's going to hunger and thirst and cry. But your soul that lives forever, that is secure in God. Number 34. I like this one too. We have a down payment on heaven. At the moment of salvation, God gave you a little bit of heaven. How do I know? Because he gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. 2 Corinthians 1:22. He gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. What's a pledge? A pledge is a down payment, right? Now, not too many people can afford to buy a house cash. So you go to the bank and they say, well, give me a down payment 10%, maybe 20%, and I'll give you the money to buy the house, and you'll make payments every month to pay off that debt. So you're giving the bank a pledge, a down payment, with the promise that you're going to pay off the whole house, right? Well, God gave us a down payment on heaven, the Holy Spirit. And he said, one day, I'm going to give you the whole thing, all of heaven. And as long as you've got the indwelling Holy Spirit, you have a down payment, God's assurance that you have heaven. Ephesians 1:14 says, the Holy Spirit is given as a pledge of our inheritance. So there's two scriptures, 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:14. The Holy Spirit is God's promise, God's down payment, that I'm going to give you all of heaven. Young girl gets engaged. She gets an engagement ring. What's that? A down payment. One day you're going to get the whole guy. He pledges himself to you. You're the only one. Here's the ring. And then on the wedding day, you're going to get all of me, and vice versa. Okay? So we are waiting to receive it all. That gives you something to look forward to. That's our hope. My hope is I've got the certainty of heaven. It's waiting for me. And then Paul said, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. So it's like, yeah, man, we're in this body right now. I know what waits for me in eternity, but I'm in this physical body, and I'm just waiting and groaning that I would realize the whole thing in heaven. Okay? That's Romans 8:23. So the Christian has a very bright future. God has done this for us, so we would have so much to look forward to. That's why he did. He tells us all these wonderful things. He doesn't want us to be consumed with disappointment and discouragement and depression. No, he's saying, hey, look up here. Look at me. The day you acknowledged my son as your savior, 36 things happened to you simultaneously. And I want you to learn about them because I want them to be your strength. And I want them to be your hope. And I want them to be the glue that holds you together. And when the storms of life beat upon you, that you have strength and you have power. And you have, you know, when Noah built the ark, God said, get some pitch and hold the boards together with the pitch so the ark doesn't break up in the storm. Well, these 36 things that God gave us, that's the pitch. And they hold us together. They hold the boards of our life together. And the more we learn them, and the more we understand them, the more our life will be held together, the more the boards will be held together of our life. And when the storms try to beat against our soul, we stand strong. That's what God wants to do. So here's number 35. In our position, that means our standing with God, we are glorified. Remember, our position, that's future, okay? Our position with God is his future. It's how he sees us perfectly, innocently, in the righteousness of Christ. Truth says we have it right now. In God's mind, it's already accomplished. You know that? See, God sees us perfect because Christ is in us. Here's what Paul said in Romans 8:30. These whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, all of these took place at once, simultaneously. Well, you say, wait a minute, I'm not glorified. Well, you are positionally. Experientially, you're working through it. Positionally, you're there. You know, it's like having a reservation at a restaurant. You call ahead of time, they reserve your table for two or three or four, who's ever going. So, now, you have a reservation. You're not there, but it's like you're there, because the table is waiting for you. It's like sending an RSVP back to a wedding. You get invited to the wedding. Oh, look who invited us. How nice. So you respond, yes, we're both going. We're coming. Chicken or fish? Well, one of each, right? So even though you're not at the reception yet, it's like you're there. You sent back the RSVP. You picked your food. Boom, when you get there, you're there. That's our position in God. Experientially, we're not there. Positionally, we are there. See, God is not subject to time or space. He lives in the eternal. He sees it all at once. We are subject to time and space. Okay? And then number 36. This is a very good one. We are complete in Christ. We're complete in Him. This is a great conclusion of the riches of divine grace. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. In Him, that's a reference to Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Okay? So, Jesus is filled with God. He's filled with deity because He is God. But then in verse 10, in Him, Christ, we have been made complete. We're complete in Christ. You know what that means? We have it all. We don't have to get more power. We don't have to get more gifts. We don't have to get more fullness. No, you've got it all. It's in you. Philippians 2:12, work out what is in you. That's the Christian life. You know, sometimes you go to prayer meetings and it's like, oh, pray for more power and pray for more of God and pray for more gifts. No, we are complete in Christ. We've got it all. Work out what is in you. That's what the Bible says. It's in you. Work it out. It's all there. Okay? See, the philosophy of the world is empty. There's nothing there, but there's a fullness that's in Christ. And anyone who walks with the Lord can testify that they have been fulfilled in God. The void has been filled, right? People that have everything still know there's a void. And when they find Christ, that void is filled. That's a good way to know you're saved. The things of the world, they don't do it anymore. They don't. But the things of God, oh yeah. Oh yeah, they do it. You find out that living in the fruit of the Spirit is satisfying. Oh yes. So to be complete in Christ is to already have all that God wants you to have. It's just a matter of living in it. That's it. You're not weak. You don't need more from God. He put it all in you. You're complete. You're complete in Christ. Work out what God has placed in you with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. We don't get more from God. We use what we have. We are totally accepted by God through Christ. There's nothing more to add. We are complete in Him. Think about it. You've got it all. You've got all the gifts God will ever give you. You've got all the power. You've got all the grace. The only thing you need to add to your life is knowledge of God's word. That's it. Even Jesus Himself grew in grace and knowledge, right? So we need to grow in that. And as you grow in the knowledge of the word of God, you're going to discover and learn how to work out all those things that God has placed inside of you. So think about it. 36 things. This concludes our study on the 36 things that happen on the moment of salvation. Learn them. Review them. Get grounded in them. You know why? That's the basis of your assurance. It's the basis of your steadfastness. It's the basis of your confidence in God. Because you know what the devil's number one tool is, I believe? Doubt. Oh, if he can get you to doubt, he's got you. But when you get grounded and the 36 things that happen at the moment of salvation, there's no room for doubt. Doubt's like, what? Get behind me, Satan. There's no room for doubt. But we've got to know them and abide in them and believe in them and say, yes, God, you did this for me. Oh, man, that's great. You did this for me, and I believe it. And I'm going to apply it, and I'm going to live here. I'm going to live in these 36 things that you did for me. And I'm going to be a strong believer. My light will shine. My light will radiate. Yes, it will, because that's your foundation. And now you can build. Oh, you can build a spiritual life on this incredible foundation that comes from knowing the 36 things that happen the day you said yes to Jesus. All these things happen to you simultaneously, not one after the other. Simultaneously, they happened all at once. You know what I feel like? I feel like going back and starting all over again. I do. I feel like going back to point one and taking the next few days, going right through them all over again. Because this is where my confidence comes from. Knowing all that God has done for me, that motivates me to do whatever I can in my life for Him. You know, we can keep these messages coming. Oh yeah, keep them coming. How do we do that? Join the Hope Club. Go to newhoperadio.live. Click that little menu bar. It'll give you some information on how to join the Hope Club. You get an email devotional Monday through Friday in your email box. And you give us $3 a week. That's it. I think that's a pretty fair exchange. I think my devotionals are worth $3. Maybe even $3.50. I don't know. But you help us, we'll help you so we can keep these teachings coming. All right? Listen, thank you everybody for your support, for joining us, and we'll see you next time for more of New Hope Radio.